Then I had them group of young ladies that I have to talk to. Why are you out here doing all this for a man? You can work. I'm single and I live good. I live good.
Hello and welcome to Leading Ladies, Past, Present, and Future,
an interview podcast produced by Heap Entertainment that champions the stories of women in entrepreneurship and entertainment. I'm Antoinette Westcott, your host, and here with me is my co-host, Renee L. Page.
Hello.
Hi, Renee.
Hi. Hello.
Here today we have joining us LaShonda Golder, who is a well-networked entrepreneur with a big heart. Based out of Baltimore, Maryland, LaShonda owns the company Bad Girls Bail Bonds. As a person who lives and pursues everything she does, she is not afraid of stepping under pressure, whether that is real estate, staging, healthcare, or helping others achieve their goals. She is a true hustler at heart. A mother, grandmother, and a mentor, this bombshell of a woman is not afraid to put in the hard work and then some. As a well-grounded person who understands the process of life, LaShonda is someone we can all learn something from. Welcome, LaShonda.
Hello.
Hey. Hi, guys. LaShonda, aka Tug. Tug.
Oh, yes. What is the tug?
Tug.
My aunt gave me that name, and I still don't know today what that means. But I guess it means I'm a bad girl for life. That's what it means. I'm going to give it that, Renee. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a bad girl for life.
Like your company.
Yeah.
Just like my company. You know, that name came from my ex-husband. He just made me a bad girl for life. And I'm just like, this is who I'm going to be. I'm 15 now, so this is who I'm going to be now, a bad girl for life.
Bad girl for life.
So how did you get into bail bonds?
Well, what happened was me and my ex-husband, we were together, and I had a girlfriend. Actually, she's my best friend, Donna, and her husband has begin starting a business in the bail bond business. So they asked us, you know, hey, you know, we doing bail bond. Would y'all like to do it? But at the time, me and my ex-husband, we were bounty hunting. So we had a little company called New Breed. It was a company that a lot of bail bondsmen would come. And when their skips were jumped on them, they would come to our company and we would actually go get their skips for them. And skips mean basically people who forfeit on a bond that runs and never go to court. So
does that happen often?
A lot.
Oh, yeah.
And so we were getting cases. And so when my girlfriend Donna asked me, hey, won't you get your bail bond license? I think you will like this. And I was like, okay. So eventually me and my ex, I wound up getting my bail bond license. And once I got my bail bond license and we just got in and became bondsmen and we just started performing business. And like I said, my first year, I was really shocked, Antoinette, because I had my accountant, she was, you know, doing some paperwork for me. And my first year of business, I did $1.9 million. I was amazed. Like, it was just amazing to me. Like, you
wow.
This much money doing bail bonds? Man, I was like, scream my French. But I was like, oh my God.
Keep it real.
So now it was like, okay, I'm in.
Wow.
I'm in. I am in. So started with, you know, being a bounty hunter, you know, going out and locking guys up. And it was like, you know, for me, it was just like this tough girl. Oh, I get to lock people up, you know. Then it went from locking people up into my own adventure, you know, being in the bail bond business, doing, you know, servicing people, you know, getting people loved ones out and providing good service for people, you know, the grandmothers, the aunts, the uncles, the moms, the dads. And what I enjoyed the most with opening this business for me was that I got to start mentoring some of the young men that were coming through my company.
But the people that you hired or the ones out, that you had to...
The ones that I had bailed out, the young men that were coming in and maybe had an assault charge with the girlfriends, their parents got a relationship with me. So of course, Ms. Golder was like, hey, we taking you to see her. So, you know, they would bring them in my office, and it wasn't just more about bail bond service and providing. It was also mentoring young guys who were, hurting other women. And I'm telling them, look, I'm a woman. I have children. It's unacceptable, So just, so it started bail bond. Then it started being a mentorship with the youth, at the same time, So I got to do it a lot in bail bonds for myself. So, and because I come from the nursing field, I care about people. And if any way that I can help anyone, that's just who I am. I love what I do. I breathe what I do. So, for me, bail bond was, my starting point in my life. So it helped me become the woman I am today in understanding people, life, hustling, bustling, working, being a mom, being a grandmom. It just helped me through my whole process and moving into other things that I started to love, and moving from bail bond, going through a nasty divorce and getting back into, my own company at that time, which became Bad Girls. It went from Golders to Bad Girls. And it just started making me see life for what it was. And it was to provide good service to people, young ladies, everybody. It's just like the world. It's just like I was full of joy of doing this business, because this business started my life to love people and help people more and more and more and more as I went on in life.
Was it scary at first when you started? Going out and you're female.
I mean, not really, because I was just always a tough girl. So it was the thrill for me. It was like, okay, because I, coming up, I was just that little tough girl that wasn't afraid of anything. Clam trees, apple trees, did all that, So for me, it was just, I was, the process for me to not be afraid was just getting out there. And once I got out there and seen, I carried a handgun, I was licensed to carry. So, I was just tough. And I didn't look at it to be afraid of something when I got out there. I just went out there. I just didn't even look at them things at that time that I was out there, because the mentality that I had I knew I had to capture some of these guys, and how I was going to capture them, I had no heart. I just had to rearrest them and put them back in jail when they, forfeited on a bond. So
right.
It was just a lot of things.
I can edify that. Like my children's father, Brian, has the and he doesn't respect a lot of people, but he has the utmost respect for LaShawna. And that's probably where the name came from, Tug. And I remember he used to talk about Tug, and he was like, oh my God. He was like, Tug, he not my girl, that's my, that's how he referred to her. Like, the slang in Baltimore. And he was like, oh my God, one day I saw Tug pick up somebody, a guy, and slam him in the middle of the street. I was like, Tug, he was like, yeah. He's like, she's no joke. So I've heard LaShawna, well, Tug has, and Brian Green said to himself that he saw Tug slam a guy in the middle of the street. So I was like, okay. He's like, yeah, you want to be on that side with Tug. I was like, all right, cool.
Do you work out?
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, cool. But yeah, she's edified, verified, tough girl.
Yeah, yes. Verified for real, Antoinette. Verified. Street credibility.
So you're just like me. So do you have any role models? Anyone that you look up to as far as a woman or man that helped you along the way?
Well, I had my aunt in my life. I had my children. But like for me, when it came to role models, Jada Pinkett was like one of the little tough girls, because she was from Baltimore, and was like, oh, I could have played that role, but my aunt was a big influence in my life, with the guidance of understanding. She was a math teacher, but just understanding life. And my mom was too. She was really good, and up until she passed away in 2017, but the guidance that I had for myself was, I just had different people, and it was aunts, uncles, friends. I looked at you know, the roles that they played in their life. And for me, I had to fight to be, you know, this woman, because me fighting, it was just my mom. I just seen her go through so much, and being as though that she went through so much, I just took people, my aunt, my uncle, who was in the marriage for 30 years, but that was okay. That's what I want to do. My aunt, educator, that's what I want to do. My friend Renee, she's a nurse, that's what I want to do. So I had different people that I looked up to, that I took parts of their lives and made it my life, where I wanted to have good principles and morals about life, people, and everything that I did in my world. That was, I would call my world. So, but I had my aunt the most. She was very, you know, she would get me, you know, teach me math, and, you know, it's just a lot. It was a lot. And, you know, if I can go back, it's just so much I can tell you, but is my aunt was really my major lead lady in my life. You know, she helped me also become this woman that I am today. She really did.
She helped you learn how to count money.
Huh?
She helped you learn how to count money.
Yeah.
The math.
All the way down to the dollar, to the cent, to the penny.
What's your aunt's name?
Queen. Her name is Queen.
Oh,
yeah.
Beautiful. Is she still with us?
Yes, she is. She's still with me. She's still rocking with me. Every day. She's still rocking with me. And I thank God for that. But she's still rocking with me. So I'm like, you know what? That's my role, Doug. That is, my mother's gone, but, you know, she was like a second mother to me. So, you know, she's my rock right now. And, you know, of course, you know, the auntie this, the auntie that stuff. And I was like, okay, Aunt Queen, okay. But she calls me for everything. She always say, I love you. You're a shrewd businesswoman. You didn't let a man take you down. You held your together. I said, yep, that's what most women do. They get with these guys, and what happened? Pull them straight on down, and guess what? They never recoup. For me, them role models that I had just kept me, okay, well, if he do this, I'm going to do this. If he do this, I'm going to do that. So, Renee, no. Renee, how I roll. I get to them. I mean, you know, me and Renee I have tough talks with Renee, you know? Things, you know, I like the fact that Renee, you know, take constructive constructive criticism from me. And, you know, and I have to toughen her up too, Antoinette, because, you know, she get a little soft. Like, girl, brush that thing up. Brush this thing up, girl.
I can be out there with me too, LaShonda.
Yeah, you can. You can, but you do listen. You do listen, but, you know, it's like, okay, I get that. Because we just had a talk the other day, you know what I'm saying? It's really cool. And then, you know, Renee, you know, that's my girl. She know what we've been through.
LaShonda, we have been there.
Did you tell Antoinette how we was about the, you know, fighting? And we, we done been there.
We've been there. And I'm talking about, I was like, you sure you want to do that? I'm like, I don't care.
Right.
And you got to say, but I held my ground. Did I hold my ground?
Yeah, you did. You did.
Antoinette,
I still was going to drag her. I still was going to drag her.
I believe you.
I was going to drag you, Renee. Whether or not you was holding yours, I was still going to drag you. Trust me. I know me.
Tough girl. Like, I was like, your girl LaShonda. She was like, okay. She was like, I don't know. I was like, whatever. I was like, I don't care.
How long have you two known each other?
Oh God, it's been over 20 years. Mm-hmm. Over 20, Renee?
We got into it so much that her youngest daughter looked like me.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. How many children do you have?
Me? Oh, I have two. I have two daughters. Okay. One is 34 and one is 24. They're 10 years apart. And one is in the school system and the other one is a veterinarian. She just graduated in 2020 as a veterinarian, two bachelor's degrees. She lives in North Carolina.
They're my
girls.
That's tough.
Yeah, that's very hard. When she went to North Carolina A&T, and I wanted her to be an engineer. She walked off the line. I said, you know what? My hands go. But she did it, you know, so she did it. I wanted her to do what I wanted her to do. She did what she wanted to do. And guess what? Antoinette, I'm proud she did it, you know, 5 years. And she stayed in school, you know, 4 years for college and 5 years. She just, you know, so she got two bachelor's degree, one in animal lab and one in animal science. So, and then my other daughter, with my four grandkids, they my besties. I love
Which one's your favorite?
The boy.
My boy. He's my best friend. That's my only grandson. That he's my best friend. You know, the girls, the girls are the girls, but my grandson, he's my best friend. I always, and only because the things that are happening here in Maryland, in Baltimore, and now that life is, the murders that's happening, and then it's like, I have a grandson. I have to protect this guy. It's so sad here. Like, it's, you know, I have some young guys that I mentor, actually, especially at the bail bond, it was like a party out in front of my office every day they were hanging out. And I was able to gravitate and take some of them and make their lives a little bit better. You know, I would have them, you know, sweeping, you know, cleaning up, you know, doing the things that, because all they wanted to do is sell drugs outside. So I was like, you know what, I'm not accepting this. We're not doing drugs out here. So, you know, I gravitated to the ones who wanted that help, you know, and without saying, hey, Miss Gold, or hey, Tug, or hey, LaShonda, can you help me? I just saw it. And I just, you know, start, and a few of them had got killed. And a few of them had got killed, but, you know, it's nothing, what not I could do, but they were out there in their life. But then there were a few who started doing bail bond, training them, some of them, you know. I mean, one guy, his name is Horsey, and right now today, he calls me every day, Mom, what you doing? Because of the fact that I took his life from off the corners, and now he's doing, like, flipping houses, fixing them up, and you know, show him off his work. And for me, that's gratification that I saved somebody's child. You know, I saved someone's child. And if it's 1, 2, 3, I don't care how many, I will fight to save more, you know, but every kid don't want to be saved. So I, you know, the pick and choosing is the ones that gravitate to me that I can see that want to be helped without saying I want to help. It's just that look in their eyes to say, you know what, please help me, without saying, Tug, LaShonda, I need help. You know, I see it. So I just take them and just make them out of men. And when I say men, you know, respecting women, you know, how to talk to women, because that's where I come from. You know, my grandparents, they didn't play that, you know, respecting elderlies, you know, moms, dads, whatever you name it. We couldn't be disrespectful, you know, in them streets to older people, you know, like today's time is the new millenniums, no respect. And I work in a mental hospital. So I see it all. I see the high profile cases, parents.
It's our culture.
Yeah. And then if they don't address mental illness, Antoinette, I don't know where our world is going to be in another 10 years. They really need to address mental illness, because it's
real. Definitely.
It's so real. Like, it is so real out here. Y'all cannot believe how many high profile cases that's in my facility that I'm just like in just disbelief. And they're young. I mean, these kids are running 19 to 25. You know, some have been in there for many years, but the ones that we're getting is 19 to 25. Like, in looking at kids.
Well, they need a role model. They need a mentor. And even though they're not telling you, they do need the help and want the help. They're just not ready yet to receive it.
And well, you know, the good thing, Renee,
they don't know yet.
Right. But the good thing for me, again, I'm that mother, that I'm that grandmother, that I'm that aunt and uncle when I'm at work. You know, they respect me. It's the same way I get the respect on the street is the same way I get the respect at work. You know, and, you know, you would think, Antoinette, if you came to my hospital and just recorded me, you would be like, LaShonda or Miss Golden, what she thinks she did? Everybody thinks I'm the CEO because I'm trying to fix everything. I'm serious. It's like crazy. Well, I got one friend be like, Look at Miss Fogan. That's the CEO at my hospital. Look at Miss Fogan. Look at Lottie. She's the manager in the office. They call me all these names, y'all. It's so funny because I'm like, yeah, that's who I am. But I fix, you know, I fix stuff. I make things happen because I want people to know that life is bigger than this. If you just take the time out and love yourself and love other people. You know, for me, I'm spreading the love and I'm spreading the wealth. You know, I want people to see that I'm 51 and I've been through trials and tribulations, but I made this woman I am today because of me helping other people all the time in business and in different type of adventures that they want to be in. You know, like right now I'm doing what I love. Now I'm still doing nursing, but I'm still doing my love. I love staging. I love designing houses. So, you know, and I'm always wanting to teach other kids that you don't need to sell drugs to make it. You can work. You just got to wait for it. Anytime you want to design a bag, you don't have to go and murder somebody because you want that designer bag. You can just wait and just save your money. Save, you know, I hit every avenue that I can, credit, you know, working, not, you know, how to get a job, presentation, you know, your first impression is your best impression. I mean, whatever I can give to this world, I'm going to always give. And I give it to my kids first, but I will give it to the world also. So I try to make everything right, you know, and I'm always upfront. You know, like I'm not holding my shit, you know what I'm saying? You know, even when people at work, they gossiping about this, I say, listen, I care about what people do. If it ain't affecting my pay, it's not affecting my day. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm want to give you growth. I want to, you know, because my thing is growing people mental, you know what I'm saying? Of not to love one another. I'm doing that. You know, why are you sitting around here gossiping about other people? That's not what we're here for. We're here to help and grow people to make them better. And that's like even for them young girls. And I tell these young girls, I'm 51. You better hope you look like you, me, and Renee at 51. You know, and you know, honestly, like they're going out here getting all this work done to their bodies. Like, you know, so then I have them group of young ladies that I have to talk to. Why are you out here doing all this for a man? You can work. I'm single and I live good. I live good. I just bought a house in Florida. I just bought my retirement home in Florida. So I'm good, you know. So yeah, I'm teaching them too. Yeah, I'm teaching them too. I'm like, look, I'm 51 by myself in doing this. Antoinette, I'm a CNA, certified nursing assistant, Renee's a RN. I made $170,000 and it's no bragging book. I didn't mean that, Renee, but where I'm going with it is to let them know that you could be with anything that you want. You know, you're RN, I'm a CNA, and y'all make good money. But don't, so do I, but I put in the work. And I'm telling the young girls that, look, you come out there, if you go to CNA, I'll pay for you to go to the classes. I will get you in just to get them off these streets and not be having to put on all this for these men. You can do it, baby. I do it. I did it. And I feel good about what I did.
But let's talk. So now, LaShonda, like you hustle. Like you put the H in hustle. And you, because I mean, it's 24 hours in a day. I know I have 24 hours. Antoinette has 24 hours. How many hours do you have in a day? Because it's like you get a lot done in 24 hours working, 16 hours. Because you'd be like, well, I'm getting ready to do a double. And my definition of double is 16 hours. So how do you, like, I'm exhausted. When I get off, I'm exhausted. But you, do you do your bells bonds? You be like, Renee, I'm going to do a bell. I gotta go get this person, or I gotta go do this. I gotta go do this, or I gotta go run to North Carolina. I gotta go pick up some, or I gotta go pick. It's like, wait a minute, I got 24 hours. How many hours do you have to get stuff done?
It's honestly, Renee, it's not to cut you off, but it's a mindset. And honestly, to keep myself grounded, you have to set yourself up. Okay. Your me time. See, you have to, out of a month, I'm every Wednesday, it's shutdown time for me. I pamper myself, nails done, toes. I want me time. Nobody gets that time. I meditate, I pray. When I meditate and pray every day, before I go to work and stuff. But women have to find that time for them. And for me, everybody thinks I'm a robot, but I just think it's just a God gift that he's given me right now. I mean, I'm a little tired here and now because I'm a little older, but we as women need downtime when you're putting in them hours.
Yeah.
For me, I shut everybody out. Wednesday is my day. That's it. It's no, I can talk to this person. No, I have to. I get my masseuse to come in. She massages me. I get my nails. It's like my lock time. I'm nobody can call me that day. So you have to figure out how to give ourselves that me time as women. And I think, like my girlfriend Donna, she just hustling. I said, Donna, starting 2022, you got to find some. I say, look at you. She's 55. Antoinette, if you meet her, she's amazing. And I'm telling her, she's straight gym junkie. I'm like, look, you're tired. I can see it, but you have to find the time for you. And that's what I do. Wednesday is cut off. Nobody gets to call and talk to me. Wednesday is my day to myself. And I'm running. And I run. When I tell you, like Renee said, I run like a robot. You would think I'm a robot because my girlfriend's like, how do you do it? The other day they was just here. I was so tired. I came home and it was amazing. I came home. They had an APB out on me because I wasn't answering my phone, but it's because it's my time. I need to sleep. If that's whatever I chose to do on Wednesdays, it's my time. I don't want nobody cutting in. I don't want nobody bother me. Like today, you guys got my time because of the fact that, Renee, wanted me to come on, to the podcast and talk with you and, talk about, my life and things that I'm doing in the world and trying to help in people. But, I made this time for you guys. But usually
being a leading lady.
Being a leading lady. Yeah. It's serious. It's, I want everybody to win. I'm just, I'm a networker. I mean, I have, Antoinette, you can't even believe all types of people I have on my, in my phone. Like, I'm blessed. I am truly blessed to be the hustler that I've been all my life and becoming a businesswoman. I am truly blessed that I have got this opportunity to, even you, Antoinette, I looked you up too. So I'm blessed to be with you. Renee, you're nobody, you're just my longtime friend. No, I'm just kidding. but honestly, it's important to me.
I beg people
it's important, Renee, for me, to even be into, and I thank you very, very much. It's important because it's like I'm broadening more of my life as I get older, meeting Antoinette. It's a pleasure, it's my journey now. And it's like, damn, I'm meeting these type of people in my life and I can just share the love to tell. I got to go to Patti LaBelle house, if y'all didn't know it, in 2013. The greatest experience in my life. Like literally sitting in Patti
LaBelle. Wow.
Whoever gets to do that?
To get a piece of cake?
I mean, Jill Scott was there.
Did you get a piece of pie?
I got the chicken, and that's how I got turned out on sangrias. My social time.
Okay.
I love sangrias. The fried chicken, oh my God, was the best.
Okay.
Renee, I'm telling you, that was the best experience in my life, honest. And she was so cool. Everything. Like, again.
I would just want her to stick to me. That's all I would want her to do. I would just want her to stick to me.
I was in her beard. That's how amazing it was for me. I was around. I took pictures of where her, she had like all these little things that she did on the stage. She had Patti and the bluebells and her little costumes. It was just, Jill Scott was there. Like I got to, with so many people. It was like, I'm telling you, like my life, I'm somebody, but to celebrity world, I'm just a peon. Like I'm just in a little corner, but to just, you know, now it's like my life, I'm looking like, damn, you're 51 and you getting to meet good people. Again, them smart people that's around you that's making your growth get bigger and bigger. And that's what I want for the younger folks to understand. If I could speak about my life to kids every day, they would get it. They'd be like, this lady, it's amazing. And it's just what I want for my children, my grandchildren, your children, Renee. Antoinette, I don't know if you have children, but your children too, you know? Seriously, it's real. You know, my life is, I'm proud of myself. I am.
You should be proud of yourself. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I've shot my friends up when, you know, some of them things that they have insecurities about. Nah, we're not going to do that. We're going to be women. We're going to be women with morals, character, and respect, you know, because these men out here, so many opportunists. Whew, that's another story, buddy.
Well, we have to keep passing on that information. Like, we can't hold it for ourselves because we need to teach and the next young ladies and the men need to know too, as far as little things like how to treat a woman and everything. There's a lot of that stuff that's not necessarily passed on.
Well, I think it's been broken. I really think a lot of that has been broken in, but it's women like us who talks about it that can bring it back. If we can just continue to build each other up,
right,
and be there for each other and support each other, no matter, you know, whether, you know, you like it or not. But it's, you know, when, you know, to me today doing this is just making me now even better. It's just make me want to go out and more and just talk and just let ladies look, we can do this. We can do this. It's not, you know, we all can do this. I mean, I can't wait to get off and just tell my girlfriends, like, look, we can do this. You know, I wanted to, you think Jada had a red table talk. I like white. I wanted a white table talk because I want these young kids to know life is, you can be whatever you want to be. I am living proof. I'm living proof that you can do whatever you want. You just got to love and breathe it. If you live and breathe it, you can be whatever you want to be. At the end of the day, that's just it.
Yeah, well, one of the things I've been, like, in the last year or so was trying to figure out how to get this message out is, like, I have a friend who is telling me, okay, and I'm going to go there. She's 46 or something and single mom and everything. And a guy that she went on a date with or whatever, they were kissing and,
oh, you want to touch it?
I'm like, touch it? He really said this to you? Like, boys said that when they were like 16 and now he's like 51. Do you want to touch it? Get out of here. You don't deserve to be in my space. That is just teaching that how to approach that topic together as women and men and reading the signs, whether a woman is even interested. And I just don't, you can tell. And if you can't tell, it's a no.
Right. It's a definitely no. But I think what it is that we are, the women that we are, we have to figure out a way of how to reboot the millennium kids. I think that's the biggest thing, rebooting the mind, because the mindset is just so all over the place that, and it starts from home. And it's just a lot of this starts from home. If I could just right now, I told your, what's his name?
Joel.
I told you that, right, Joel. I told Joel, if I had $1 million, I would get all my mentor friends, and I have a lot of guys and a lot of women. I would take every school bus, cheese bus, or whatever you want to call it, and put it in the inner city and all over. And put these kids and ask their mother to give me consent.
Uh-oh.
Take them on a 400-acre desert and build some things out there and reboot And it would take us some years to do it, but I just feel like I could do it. I mean, because these kids, their parents are drug parents, they're no fathers, their grandparents, it's just so, so much. And I had a program that I was actually working on called Save the Children. And a friend of mine, he lives in Atlanta, and he did a little, you know, video for me. And I had a couple of people around me because what I was trying to do is I have some friends that own some real estate property. I was going to try to get these kids and some of the kids in the juvenile system and some kids that is in, it's a program where they graduate out of trying to get their high school diploma and then they become into the real world. I had a friend who was a supervisor there, and we were trying to work where we can, once they got out this program, we could house these kids and, you know, get jobs. And some of my friends who own their own business, they could, you know, do carpentry work, like help them fix up houses and, you know, cut grass and, you know, find out what their trades are and get them out the inner city, you know. And I was working on that program, but then, you know, everybody's work schedule was kind of off, and, you know, this person couldn't do this. And I mean, I even got some of my police friends who are actually go to programs to talk to boys to try to get into it. But, you know, it's just that, you know, some people are just not together, and I'm not with not together people. I'm with people who are together. We're going to, you know, make it work for these kids, you know, and we can't keep just walking around letting these kids, you know, you can't keep ignoring it, because one of our kids could be victim to this. And it's that when you stand up, when your kid become victim, or you do something now, you know, and this is what I tell a lot of my male friends, you know, that we have to come up with something. And I've been seeing a lot of people posting, a couple of my friends on there posting, talking to the kids like you just got to stop the killing. Like, you got to stop. Yeah. But, you know, I think it take a collective of what you doing, Antoinette, is talking about it and bringing it out and bringing more people to get involved and figure it out. Like, how can we all as a collective do this together? Like, do it together, right. You know, and make this thing. And if we can even just start with one or two kids, you know, my girlfriends and I, we were talking about getting some young ladies and doing a show where the young ladies will have to model all of us. We all business entrepreneurs. So every one of the girls that we pick out the group, once they, we interview them, and whoever get picked, we will have them role model us. And then by the time our show was over, then one of them would get picked and we would give them $10,000 to start their own business. And so
it's a lot of things,
you know, so they get to understand my part as a bondsman, as a nurse, doing nursing, doing staging. My girlfriend, Donna, who does gymming, she does bail bond also. And then she owns real estate. My other girlfriend is like, you know, she's my sister, my brother's wife. She owns Sterling Optical, and, you know, she does real estate. Then my other girlfriend, Kelly, she's done real estate. She works for Comcast. And so we were just trying to come up with something that we could just actually do for the, especially for the ladies, and show them this is our hard work we put in. We didn't ask nobody walk up to give us anything. This is what we did. We started our own business, and we became business women. And then we was going to switch off. So then my person would go to Donna, the other person would go to Kelly, the other person would go to Lolita.
Right.
So that would have been just like giving them the opportunity to see that you don't have to go here and sell off your body, wear these tight clothes just to get men, you know, and you can actually do this by seeing what we do as Black business women and making it work. Women, period. Women in all colors, it doesn't matter. Just showing them how it begins for them and how it begin for us. And that's the program like I'm really looking to do for, you know, both men and women, you know, the younger generation, the new millennials, you know, to let them see that, you know, if you really want it, you can really get it. And right. This is where we got to start. You know, we have to start somewhere. We have to come up with some type of program to get these kids to see that there is life beyond drugs and abuse and all the things. And there's a lot of that also play a part. They got to educate them. They got to get educated on a lot of things.
Right. Well, this comes from the home with our parents. Like, we only know what they know. So they can only teach us so much. So we have to have an outsider to do what you're saying. Talking about your feelings. Like, what's going on for you? My parents, it was already swept under the rug. And I don't know how to talk about feelings. So it's fight or flight. And I fight. Where it was just, you know, go to your room and whatever, and then dinner time comes. Okay, how is everyone? Okay, pass the milk. Oh, well, they'll take some potatoes. No, I'm still mad. I need to discuss this. I need to get it out. And so now it's just all this just festers and bottles up, and well, you should talk about it now. And so in that respect, I am learning that now as a 40-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. And this is, what'd you say, Renee?
I said she couldn't have been in a Baltimore home, right? And she came to the table with an attitude. Your mother would have been like, I'll give you something to be mad about.
Yeah, yeah. They came to Baltimore, Antoinette, you would have got it.
Pass the peas. She would have bashed you your teeth.
Yeah, she would have got it. She would have. Yeah, matter of fact, Antoinette told you go outside and get that switch off that tree. Yeah. And your legs would have been tore up from top to bottom.
Dan passed the milk. In a switch. Yeah, it is. Pass me the switch.
I'm telling you, that's the way we got it, you know.
Yeah.
We got it bad. I'm telling you.
No, we got it too. My brother got it the worst.
You said your brother got it. Yeah, so.
Okay.
You know, Antoinette, let's do it. You know, let's try to come up with something. You know, let's try to make this thing work. You know, let's keep networking. Let's just pull it through. Mm-hmm. I'm here. You know, I'm just a phone call away. Let's make it work. Let's get awesome. You up and popping, and let's get this thing rolling. What about that? Let's get this thing up, popping, and rolling. You know.
Some questions too. We're not done with you yet. So we talk. Whatever. You want here, you want to talk. So looking at your 21-year-old self doing what you're doing, LaShonda, aka Tug, what would you tell your 21-year-old self of how to get it done? What would you say? Because you got young women looking at you that may not have access to you. So what would you tell your 21-year-old self? What would you say? What does 1 point, so the thing is, what does 1.6, you said your company made 1.6 million and when 1. Your
1.9 million in my first year.
What does that even look like? So just, right. I wonder what that looks big.
It looks big, but what I would, my approach would be with that, Renee, would be more is, what is your love?
Okay.
What do you like to do? Because that's important, you know, that is important to people, because some people don't know what their love is. They don't know how to even start a business or how to start working, because you got to remember, some of them torn, some of them been broken, and you have to ask that question. What do you like to do? What is your love?
Right.
Anybody ask me now, what's your love? Staging houses. I love the design. Okay. I will drop my nursing job any day to design, because it's my love now. Now, nursing is my career work, but what I love designing all day long. Okay. You can just tell me, look, I'm in the stores every day, Antoinette, every day, shopping because I felt this love. I had it the whole time in my come up in my life, but I just didn't see it as my love at that time. So one day I started designing my house. I had this big home in Owings Mills, and I just, you know, put my heart into it. Didn't have no interior decorator, nobody. I did it myself. My girlfriend's just like, oh my God. So I was like, oh, I'm on to something. You know, like I'm on to something because now they're getting their little boyfriends. Oh, you got to come and see my girlfriend's house. And I started with a foreclosure home at the age of 30. And that's where it started. And then I went to a bigger home and I'm like, okay, I got this. So made up a little card, you know, and again, this is what I'm saying. The question Renee's saying, how did you start? Because what I did was once I started getting hearing people in my ear, like, oh, you know how to design. I ain't go to the designing school. Where do I? So that's where I, you know,
it's just a natural talent.
And mm-hmm. and I started a little business card, interior decorating. And if you guys can see, right, this is my living room, right? If I don't know if you can see it, this yeah. living room. And I had did that with my furniture in my big home. And I had, you know, it was black and white furniture at that time. So I was like, okay, I took pictures, made my little business card, start giving them out. So again, it's
you started.
You got to start asking the question. What's your love? What would you like to do? If you had a choice and you had $1 million right now to start a business, what would you love to do? Because people have to love what they do. You know, right. a lot of us get into these jobs because it's just a job. But correct. To be for people to be successful in what they do, you have to have a love for it. Okay. Something you have to become a successful person. And that's just it. My love is designing. Like I get staging jobs. I make $3,500.
And how do you help someone find their love if they don't know?
You can talk about it. Like people have different types of love. You know, you just got to mentor them and try to bring the best out of them. I mean, like the best. And you got to ask them, okay, so tell me your love. So he might say, oh, I want to be a truck driver. Or I might want to be such and such. You know, some people like me, I'm just versatile. I can jump into any situation and I can make it happen. I just can do it. It's just because I'm versatile like that as a woman, but there are other people who are just one straight mind. And they just, their mindset is, okay, I'm gonna do it this way. With me, I can jump. Antoinette might say, hey, LaShonda, I need you to come over here and do this. Boom, it's done. Renee might call me the next day, 2 days and say, hey, I need you to do this. Boom, it's done. So for me, that's just the woman I made myself out of, being a versatile woman. But everybody's not going to get it. But so we start with learning the person and what their love is. And once we find out what it really is, we start then mentoring that brain to be what they really want is by just even just calling someone and say, hey, look, I got an assignment. I need you to, I'm calling out a favor. I got this kid I'm working with and I'm mentoring him. Let him come down there and he said he's a really good cook. Train him a little bit, see what he can do. So it's things like that. We have to reach out to other people to, you know, to help, to give them the start, to see what it is. Is that something that they really want to do? So they may think right then and there that's their love, but it may not be their love. So
right. Let's test it out now.
Test it out.
Give them access.
So you don't set them up for failure.
So you know? At what age do you think that you can start recognizing those things in a child?
Well, every kid could be taught at a, I would say 13.
Yeah, right.
At the age of 13, because that's when they, you know, they going through these different challenges, you know, because most of the time you can groom kids from the age 1 to 12. And like I said, the millenniums are so different now. But back then when I was growing up, you could, you know, you had your children from 1 to 12 to me. And that's what I felt like what I saw in real homes. But then when they become 13, it's just like this drastic change that these kids, you know, men, you know, their bodies are going through so much. So I would say 13, but technically 16, because, or 14, because I think they get a work permit now at 14. Don't they get work permits at 14? So 14 would be a very good age, you know. I mean, and a lot of things, Antoinette, is that's missing is they took summer programs out. Remember, you know, when I was growing up, they had summer programs. They were paying us summer program contractual work, you know, and that means you got a work permit. You know, your parents signed off and Antoinette, somebody coming in, they got a little lawn service business. They cutting your grass, you know what I'm saying, for the summer. So you know, instead of you paying your regular guy, you got this little kid who's out there cutting your grass, you know, every week or every 2 weeks, however you want to put it. But this programs is big, you know, that these kids don't have nothing to do but go out and harm and use drugs and harm themselves. So we have to find a way to, again, go back and reboot the kids and some of the kids, because we're not going to save them all, because some of them just to the point that you just can't save. And I'm just going to be honest and straight up. There's a lot of kids that just don't want to be saved, but there are kids who's following other kids that don't want to be saved, really do want to be saved, but they don't have no way of finding that way. So it's people like us who have to help them find their way to get away from that bad environment, you know, and how to push them to a good environment and show them the way, you know. So it's very important for us to, you know, look deeper into ourselves as women, men, and find that heart to start gravitating to the kids, you know, because we can't produce them if we're not willing to produce them, you know. We got to be willing to, you know. And you know, me, you, and Renee probably just hang up right now, and then you go on your life, Renee go on hers, and I go on mine.
I'm gonna sleep.
But I know when I'm just saying, Renee.
I get. But then when you say that with this pandemic was going on, that things that you want to do for the kids, getting the kids out as well as adults, the pandemic has really affected children's interaction with other people. Wouldn't you agree? The virtual learning?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so that has been a factor too. And that also has perpetuated the mental aspect.
But to a certain degree, Renee. And the reason I say that, because again, with this pandemic, it has truly upset the whole world. But right. Again, there are different mm-hmm. type of tools of things that, you know, which they love the phone. So it's like giving them an assignment. You know what I'm saying? You know, finding out what your kids or the ones that we want to gravitate to, and find out what it is. So I'm going to give you $1. Let me just use this, $1 a day for this assignment every week. You know, I'm just using that as a tool. I'm going to give you $10 sure. every day for this assignment. And knowing that, you know, and even if that assignment is on his telephone, because you know everybody's on their phone, they little tools that we can use to see if they want to live and breathe it, because it's about living and breathing it. So okay. if we can come up with little stuff that just can give them tools to say, I'll give you $10 a day, who's going to turn it down? No, every kid is not going to do it, but they're going to be some kids and say, oh, you want this project for me? You know, because finding out what kids like to do, okay, I'm putting it in an art show. I need you to design this for me. Because I have kids that do that, that okay. will, you know, design stuff for me, and I'll give them $20. Be like, I'm going to call you back if somebody else, you know, just to give them to start the encouragement of, okay. oh, your design was excellent. It might not have been all that, but just to get that mindset, the mindset that, Shorty, you got something here. You got something right here, Shorty. Shorty, you keep working at this. Trust me, you're gonna be one of the baddest artists out here. You know, even in the rap game, you know, the rap game, all of that. It's just tools that we, as Antoinette was saying, we in our 40s and 50s have to kind of show them, but we have to be honest with ourselves. Uh-huh. And we gotta make it happen. You know, we can't just, you know, we can talk all day. I can do this shit all day, you know, seriously. I can, Renee. And when it comes to me, it's my heart that puts the time and effort into this shit, you know what I'm saying? Because I care. What the hell are you laughing at?
It's called having a personality. Oh, that was tough. See, I feel bullied. You're not going to bully me.
Man, you know, you know, I was a bully all my life. So, you know, now I'm just so against the bully. I don't even play it. Antoinette, I was such a bully in school. I used to take all the boys' money in high school And now that I'm seeing children, like, I really feel bad. Like, because now when I look back on my life, I'm like, I used to go to school and I used to be this tough girl. And I used to brag about it. Like, I used to take all the boys, and then all the boys that see me, they'd be like, oh my God, I didn't know you was going to turn out like that. But you used to take my money, my lunch money. I'd be like, oh, I feel so ashamed, because now kids today are being bullied, you know? So my heart is so different now. It's like, damn, I used to be that person, you know? And I'm like feeling bad because there are children dying. Bully, you know what I'm saying? Because people just did this shit, and I'm thinking this, oh, I'm cool. I'm going to have me lunch for the rest of the week, because I'm going to line all of these guys up on the lockers and take everybody's money.
Where was the parents?
I don't know. But I knew I had lunch money for the rest of the week. All week, girl. All week.
Where was your mom? Who was that?
She was at work, Renee. That's all I can say. She was at work. I was taking money from the guys. And it wasn't, I never did it to the girls. I always did it to the guys. I was
just, you were a little Robin Hood. You were a little Robin Hood.
Yes, I was. And a roll running with it. Look, and a roll.
Well, they learned. They learned not to mess with you. Yeah. Bad girl bail bonds.
Girl bail bonds.
But remember, and because I know we can talk all day, but I remember like Corey has, like, my son Corey, when he was going through, and it's no secret, and the thing is that I talk about it so that it can help a male or female that's coming behind him. And the thing is, it's not about poverty. It's not about, and the thing is, Corey sold drugs, and Corey did not need to sell drugs, and he went through that stage at 13 years of life. And I remember a couple of times I had to call LaShonda. I got sick of giving LaShonda my damn money. That's where the $1.9 million comes from. When they pay too money is included. But I had to call, I had to call LaShonda and be like, girl, go and get Corey's ass out. And it would be, and LaShonda would go get him and be like, Corey, what are you doing? You don't need to do this. You got this, you got that. And that's the sad part about it, is that Corey did not need to sell drugs. And it's like, what are you selling? It was like, what are you doing? So LaShonda had the conversation with Corey, and it was like, and I remember when he got in trouble with the police officer, and he came to my house and they went to his room. They was like, this is this kid's room? Like, it was like, what's the problem? And it was like, you know, what is the problem? Like, I had no clue. Because it wasn't anything that he needed, but it was just the changes that he was going through at the age of 13. So I know a couple of times I had to call bad girls, Bell's Bonds, to get his tail out. I'm going to say his out of jail. It was stupid.
And Antoinette, when she calls me, again, I am being proactive. I'm providing a service. I got a friend who child, but then I got to get on his ass too, myself. Like, what are you doing? Like, you out here selling drugs, mm-hmm. Your mother, you know, you got your mother work, you know, and again, that's again, that mentor part. And she'll tell you today, Corey calls me and be like, not my aunt, she's a tough girl. She ain't going, you know, and I'm like, and I have to break it down to him still to this day and tell him, hey, nope. Not going to do this. So now he like my aunt, she the hustler. What you got for me to do now? What you got for me to do now? You know, because the mindset of that's what they know of me. I'm going to make shit happen, and I'm going to put them in a good direction in their life to make it happen. Because Corey just said it to me. What you got popping now? Well, that's what he said. That's the new word. I'm a little lost in some street terms, but what you got popping now? I'll tell you what you got popping, you know, so. You know, what you got good for me? Because, you know, I was doing the cleaning thing, and he wants to do that. And I'm like, but Corey, you got to be serious. You know, cleaning is just not no, cleaning a house and then cleaning a commercial building are two different styles. You know, people, I mean, we think, because, I mean, I have OCD. My house is very clean, but my styles are two different styles when I'm out cleaning Barnes & Noble and I'm here cleaning my own house. You know what I'm saying? I'm using two different type of solutions, you know, for my house and for industrial building, you know, commercial building. So
again, you didn't bring that up. That's part of your household that you
Antoinette, didn't I just tell her I do everything? Nothing. You can't put me on it. I'm not going to make it happen. You know, if I could build a bridge, and you know, you show me, I'm going to build a bridge.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, I'm just blessed and thankful that I just have that knowledge to understand how to help and get money. As my aunt said, I'm a shrewd businesswoman now, Renee. A hustler behind.
Good for you. Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate all that you're doing and being a part of the mentoring and all these young kids.
Yeah.
You're a blessing. You're an angel.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I do appreciate that.
You're welcome. I'm gonna
be your angel now.
Thank you.
Be your angel. So let's make it happen. Let's continue this and see where we go.
Yes, thank you.
Let's get ourselves to the top.
Okay.
Because we can be like Jada and I'm at the red, white table, my white table. Antoinette is going to be the host. You're going to be making sure we get this thing going. We're going to do some, then later on we may do some man bashing because I got some stories to tell you.
Male bash. No. No male bash.
No, educate. Educate.
We're going to educate.
One of the things I want to educate is not only do females need to know this, but boys need to know this too, and stuff that we need to learn in sex education classes to reduce the pregnancies is we have a cycle. So we can only get pregnant during our ovulation week. So it's 4 weeks. So let's time it out. And you just don't have sex for 1 week. We have our own natural birth control. We just have to use it. And if our partners know this and we use it, then we're good. Men have to be just as responsible as the females on it.
No sex for 4 weeks.
No, 1 week. The ovulation week.
1 week. I'm like, who? What?
No, for 1 week.
That might even be too long for some.
Then we will reduce, you know, pregnancies, the amount of abortions.
COVID, HIV, everything.
Everything's out there.
Yeah, nobody talking about HIV now with COVID being out here. I don't hear it as much. Now I hear that AIDS is being carried. Like, what? So, yeah.
Yeah. So one question that Renee likes to ask, do you want to ask Renee and we can wrap it up?
Yeah. So with you being busy on your hustle tug, what... what stops you when it's time for you to get up? Because I don't know what time you get up. What stops you from hitting that snooze button and getting your ass up and getting to it?
All mental. It's just all mental. My body is just prone to no, bam, bam, bam. It's okay. Just, I can't explain it, but it's just hitting the snooze button is not a prior, you know, it's just, it's not, it's go. Once I hit that snooze button, my day is going to be off. If I don't hit that snooze button, I just go. And I just don't stop.
So what makes you get up every morning?
The money. The money. Let's get the money. The hustle is just to get up and do it, you know. And it what makes me be able to go and buy nice things and get what I want, you know, when I feel like it, you know. So, it you know, to go into, and like I said, being in a career woman, I love what I do at my job. So it makes me go because I guess what if I go to work, my bills won't get paid. That's what makes me go.
Okay.
I tell any woman, if you really want it, you're going to get up and go. You're going to make it happen.
Which profession do you like the best between the bail bonds, interior designing, the nursing, real estate?
Interior designing because it's my love and I'll get up to do that, you know, in my sleep. I do it in my sleep, you know. So I love beautiful things. I like to make your house beautiful. I like to satisfy my customers. I like to see my customers smile and say, where the hell did you come up with that design? You know, just getting some of their input, you know, of the little things that they may want. And I just put a touch in my own little spin in it and everybody's happy.
I can't wait to buy my house and you come over and design it. I can't wait because I can't do that. Just everything looks beautiful.
Right. You know, and Antoinette, just call me. Girl, I'll be on the next one in California. I'll be there right there. We'll be just doing, you know, and just I can do one little room and just give you a touch and feel like, oh, I just want to go home now. You know, I got all my girlfriends nailing that. I design their houses and now it's like Donna, she has a condo down in Harbor View and it's like she was like, you're really talented. She said, I really didn't. So she, you know, when she comes there, it's like she feels like she lives in Charlotte. So she comes up and she's like, it feels like home, you know, like when she comes there, like it's just like she got so much going on down there because she just constantly running. But when she comes to Maryland and I go clean our condo or I fix it up, she's like, it just feels like I can just relax. I can breathe, you know. And that's what I want people to feel like when they come in their home, like, oh my God, my house is so gorgeous. I could just lay across the bill. I don't want to touch nothing, but it's home. You know, I want you to feel, you know, my design, and I want you to feel home, like, you know, and I want you to feel bougie and, you know, you can just put on your silk dress and walk around with a glass of wine, you know, especially for us women, you know, I just want you to feel, you know, like, oh, this is exciting. You know, I can do this every day after all my hard work. I can go home to my beautiful home and lay across my bed in my silk dress or no damn clothes at all and be happy.
Well, that's what I'm manifesting. Okay, I'm going to ask you rapid fire questions real quick and then we'll close out. Okay, in 2021, what is the best investments you made under
$100? Under $100?
The question is under $100. You have not made an investment under $100, Tug. Come to a small piece.
Maybe my real estate. My stocks. I bought Crocs. Okay. Y'all need to Crocs. Stop.
What? $89 Crocs, right?
Hey, I do it all, honey. Yeah. But then, I mean, but it's a very good stock, Renee. You need to get into it, honestly.
So you saying you invested in Crocs under $100? Come to owl level.
Once it falls, and it's and once the stock falls, and if it's under $89 or under $100, buy it. You buy shares. Okay. You buy 10 shares, and when the stock go over 100, you just make some.
Always a money maker with you. Always a money maker. Like, my investment under $100, I bought a book. $13 book. But, you know, but it has made me money. My thinking shift. It was called Think and Grow Rich. That was
Good. When I'm buying it under the $100 stuff, I'm thinking just buying stocks and thinking big, you know, later.
That's a good point that you're teaching someone that you could take $100 and buy a stock that could potentially double your money. So that's something good.
Yeah, that is. I think that's excellent. And I think kids, you know, that's a very good investment for them at a very young age. Because looking at 20 years later, they're going to be worth a lot of money, especially if they're learning it.
Oh, yeah.
If you're teaching them.
Yeah. Cause I don't buy Christmas gifts. I take that money and I put it in their investment fund for Corey and Jacob. So yeah, their parents can get the Christmas gift. They each get $500 added to their investment account.
That's good. That's excellent.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. Merry Christmas.
If you could have coffee with one person, who would it be?
You.
Me. If you could switch careers tomorrow, what would you try?
Be a lawyer.
What's the first thing you do every morning?
Meditate and pray.
Oh, how long do you meditate for?
1 hour.
An hour, okay. And your favorite podcast?
Leading Ladies.
Oh my gosh. And what's your number one piece of advice for self-care?
Love yourself and take care of yourself and eat right.
Okay. So, LaShawn, is there any way that people can find you to call you for bail bonds or interior designing? And do you want to give us your shout out and some plugs?
You can reach me on my Instagram is bad girls with a Z08. Or you can reach me at 443-277-5877. And that's the bail bonds number. And I'm 24 hours a day for that. Upstaging is upstaging.com. That's also my web page for my staging company.
Okay. Well, thank you all for tuning in for this week's episode. For more of our content, you can follow us on social media at HeepEnt. That's HEEPENT. And if you have feedback, questions, or suggestions, collab pitches, or anything you want to tell us, you can reach out to our team at heepent@gmail.com. That's HEEPENT. And until next time, everyone, stay tuned. Thanks
for joining. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.